This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
And good morning. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper. Trevor Valise is here, but he's sitting on the job, literally. He was just sitting when I walked in the door, and we don't have rundowns.
Nope.
We have nothing. We don't even have him.
He had his feet kicked up in the other room. And...
Yeah. See, this is the product of Hans D, because everybody sees that Hans gets away with this. So, you know, Hans sometimes doesn't even come in until he's ready to go, right? So now you got people like Isaac and Trevor that just they just don't do anything because they're like, well, Hans gets away with it. So,
it's a bad standard to set,
Totally. And it's our fault for letting it happen. Trevor's joined us now. That's very kind of him, although I can't see you.
The show starts at 4:06. It's 4:06. What are you complaining about?
No rundown.
It's coming right now.
Oh, it's coming. All right. I'm just joking. All right. We are all kind of in a good mood today because of what we found out today. So those of you that are loyal listeners know that on Fridays, and we've done this for almost 10 years or something, we do a segment called Who You Got. And normally we actually have games that we sit there and say, all right, well, look, Illinois's got Indiana tomorrow in football. Who you got? And we just kind of give our reasoning for why we chose a certain team, et cetera. Well, during the pandemic, Hans wanted the show to go on. I do give him credit for that. So he decided to start coming up with who you gots. And if you've listened, then you know kind of what they are. If this is your first time tuning in on a Friday, what we've done instead is take like three of the 89 Flying Illini against three Michigan guys from 89, and then we determine who wins that. Then we would do like, singers against singers in an actual fight, in a, like a bar fight. And then we did coaches. And so the very first one we did was Brad Underwood against Pat Chambers, the Penn State coach.
Brad Underwood against Fran McCaffrey. We got to give Brad one win.
That's right.
Just to make sure that he still comes on our show.
That's
at
a
some,
great
some point.
Great point. I'm glad you said that because I forgot that. So Brad then moved to round two where he faced Pat Chambers. Well, Chambers won. And as we went through the list, Chambers just never got beat. He just continued to win. So during that stretch, one of us was like, we got to get Pat Chambers on. How fun would it be if he joined us and talked about his fighting prowess? So we reached out to Penn State and asked the SID, hey, do you mind if we could try to get Pat Chambers on our show? I know this is stupid. I said at the time in the email, I said, this is my death sentence with regards to my credibility in the media business.
Fine.
But Rose Carter, the SID at Penn State, who, by the way, grew up in Illinois, up north.
We didn't know that.
We did not. So she reached out and said a couple Fridays ago, you know what? I'll see what I can do. I know he can't join you in June or until June, but I'll see what we can do. So today I'm at work. I'm doing a couple of things. Trevor gets a hold of me and says, have you seen your text yet? And she had texted in or called in to the radio station. So I call Rose and I'm like, Rose, what's up? And she's like, Coach Chambers wants to join you today. And I'm like, you're kidding, right? So Pat Chambers, the Penn State coach, is going to join us, not to talk about Lamar Stevens or his stretch of years at Penn State.
Or what Io did to them in February.
Right. Well, we don't even want to ask that, do we? He's going to join us today to talk about how good of a fighter he is.
Sure.
And we've uncovered a few things that he doesn't even know about. So we're going to ask him some, you know, a few things today. Like he's the youngest of 12 growing up. So when you're the young one fighting 11 other siblings, you're going to be pretty tough. So this is, I don't know, this is maybe one of the more fascinating interviews that I'll ever do.
Just going to have fun with it.
We're just going to have a blast with Pat Chambers. I cannot wait, and I cannot thank him enough for doing this. And I hope Illinois fans have some fun with this as well and realize that this dude's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's 8-0. He's the people's champ.
Oh,
he's
man.
Rolled through Underwood, Hoiberg, Izzo, Turgeon.
Whoa.
Had a bit of a battle with Juwan Howard.
No doubt.
Took a shot, but was able to sustain, and then Howard was just, he's just too nice.
Right. And then he had to turn around and face Matt Painter the next week.
Not easy.
It was a brutal two-week stretch there. But he fought through that, and then it just really kind of eased up after that. He took care of self.
Weber and growth.
Yeah. So, you know, and today he's got a battle with Sean Miller in Arizona. I'm going to ask him. I'm going to say, you know, Coach, you're battling Sean Miller today. His strength is sweat. So how are you going to, you know, neutralize that? How are you going to, you know, use your defenses against his sweat? You know, so
this isn't just boxing. This is MMA style. So trying to get a hold of sweaty Sean Miller could be difficult.
This will not be easy.
And also, as someone pointed out to me, this is a Philly versus West Philadelphia or West Pennsylvania battle.
Ooh.
Sean Miller from West Pennsylvania, Chambers from Philly.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, so that could be, who knows? We don't know when Pat Chambers is going to be defeated, but certainly before
Won't be today.
No, I can't imagine that Sean Miller is going to take him down.
We'll see what he has to say.
Yeah, we'll see. I told Trevor today, I said, when this all ends, this pandemic, and by the way, you can go outside and eat now at a restaurant, and congratulations to every restaurant out there. This was not easy for every one of you to battle through. You've done it. I know some of them have been casualties. We've lost a few restaurants in this pandemic, but certainly those that fought through and are now at least getting to the point where people can come and we can, you know, visit, see other people while we eat, you know, minus your family members, who I'm sure everybody by now is like, okay, I've seen enough of you. So congrats to all of them. And I know it's not full-fledged open, but at least they're outside. And I think it's wonderful. And kudos to everybody that helped support the restaurants. Absolutely. And such as well. Also, you know, people cutting hair or doing hair. I mean, they're, I think, back open today. So congrats to them as well. I know it's been a long 2 months for everybody. So it's kind of cool to see a little normalcy. It seems like there's more cars out today. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that. It just seems like there's more activity. I know driving up here from Philo, there was a lot of activity. The Philo Tavern, I know, is going to be open. I think Daly's is going to be open. Maybe, I think. And so it's just one of those where it just seems like there's more activity around.
It's a beautiful day to do it, too.
Oh, man. And isn't that the truth?
Yep.
They got a little bit of a break with regards to a beautiful day, but, man, do they deserve it.
And when it's possible, you know, we're accepting some invites for on-location shows if any outdoor seating places want to have us.
Boom. Like, in 45 minutes, we'll be there. We'll have Trevor just take everything down there, set it up. You and I will take a quick commercial break, or a long one, and drive to wherever we need to be. So I thought this today, though, if Pat Chambers just ends up rolling until the championship, and we have to determine, like, we were going to kind of do it through the pandemic, we have to determine when the championship is, would it not be special if he faced off with Bruce Pearl in the title match?
That'd be a good one.
And I guarantee you Pat Chambers is not losing that.
Yeah. You know, super villain at the end.
Correct.
I think that one makes sense.
And Bruce Pearl would be somebody I don't think I'd tussle with. He looks like he could probably fight.
I mean, he's got a mean side.
He does, and he's pretty strong.
He's got a sweat side, too.
Oh, he does have a sweat side. That'll be awesome. So we will visit with Pat Chambers, Penn State head basketball coach, at 5:05. I cannot wait to do this. This is going to be fun. We do have a true or false sports returning edition that Trevor put together.
True.
We'll do that at 4:30.
True.
True. Trevor, you've got a hot mic right now. We have no idea, Derek and I, on what to talk about now for the next, let's say, 10 minutes.
Okay.
You got anything?
Well, I don't know. You were just ragging on me constantly. I was filling in the sheet for you.
Do that for 10 more minutes.
Well, whenever you're...
You want to do your roast right now? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, man. Oh, boy. That's going
to
be fun.
How about we try to figure out what Chambers' road to the Final Four would be?
Okay.
Who else is in the mix?
Because we don't have any other sport. I mean, Major League Baseball, no
it's
new developments
the same,
there.
Man.
Oh, by the way, I read the Roy Halladay story today, and that is tonight. I think it's 6:30. ESPN's doing an E60 on Roy Halladay. I did not realize
all that was going on with him.
Yeah, all that was going on with Roy Halladay. It's a sad story.
Of course, close with Chris Carpenter.
Yeah.
They dueled it out in the Game 5 NLDS.
Came up together with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, best game I've ever seen.
Oh, my.
By both sides.
Incredible. I mean, Halladay threw 126 pitches and gave up one run through, I think, 8 innings, or through 7 and
eight.
Eight innings.
I think it was eight.
And then Karp threw a complete game shutout. I mean.
Didn't he throw like a no-hitter in the postseason too?
Yeah, Halladay did.
Yeah.
He threw a perfect game in his career, and he threw a no-hitter in the postseason. That's only the second no-hitter. Of course, I think it was Don Larson, right, that threw one back in the day, I think for the Yankees or Dodgers. I don't know why I'm missing that. But anyway, yeah, I think Don Larson and Roy Halladay are the only two. And of course, Roy Halladay tragically killed piloting his own airplane. And I saw on ESPN today, they showed the path he took. He was flying it from his home in Florida about 25 minutes to the Tampa airport. And for some reason, he decided to veer off and head over to the Gulf of Mexico. Well, not for some reason. I think he was enjoying it and was trying to do some maneuvers. Yeah. He was flying especially low to the ground. And unfortunately, you know, I know a lot of bystanders that saw the crash, that saw the plane go down. They said that he was, you know, he was trying to do a few maneuvers. Almost, I don't want to say cocky, but just trying to have some fun that he probably shouldn't have. And with the type of plane he was in, they even warned him. I mean, he even talked to the guy that invented it.
Yeah.
And made the plane and said, you do not want to do that. I mean, you got to be safe with this thing. Be careful with it because, you know, it's a plane that isn't really built for that. And unfortunately,
flown it under a bridge not long before that. That was only 180 feet in Tampa.
That's incredible. I love that bridge, by the way. It's my favorite bridge. But how freaked out would you be?
Man.
How did he not get arrested for that? I mean, how freaked out would you be if you were driving over that? Is it the Sunshine Bridge or something? I think it goes from like St. Pete area over to Bradenton. It's a beautiful bridge. It's cool. In fact, the last time I was in Florida, we had rented a Jeep for a couple of days, got it pretty cheap. And the last day, everybody just wanted to hang out at the pool. And I'm like, I'm taking the Jeep across that bridge.
Yeah, it's the Sunshine Skyway Bridge.
That's it. Okay. And he flew under that. If no police saw it or something, I can't imagine that. That can't be legal. So I'm surprised that he didn't get turned in or somebody didn't get, you know, he didn't get arrested for that. But anyway.
Imagine getting no hit in a postseason game.
That's incredible.
Like, you're the Reds in that game against him. You're trying to win a National League Division Series, and you don't even get a hit.
Wasn't that the Cardinals against the Nationals?
I was just going to say, it felt like the Cardinals got no hit for a series.
The first game, didn't Anibal Sanchez throw a no-hitter? I think he threw like a one-hitter against the Cardinals in game one. And then, you remember the Yankees, the one postseason year where they hit like in the first series, they hit like 080 combined. That is horrible, but you're right, to get no hit. You talk about getting tight,
right,
gripping the bat. You'd be like, okay, this is a postseason game, guys, and we can't even scrap one out.
Especially for a team that in the last two decades doesn't frequent the postseason all that often in the Reds. So you finally get there, and it's like, oh, yeah, no hit against Halladay. Okay. That was fun.
It's like, crap. But Roy Halladay, man, what a terrible, terrible ending, of course, to his life. And just kind of a guy that kind of got, I don't want to give it away, but he got addicted to some bad things, and it kind of spiraled out of control. So unfortunate, but I think that is on ESPN tonight. But, okay, so back to better things here. Pat Chambers, who would we have, guys, in the final four?
How does this work?
Coaching?
Is Hans just making up a matchup every week?
Yeah. Or,
okay.
I mean, it's technically.
I didn't know if we were, like, going through the Big Ten first, and then once he clears that, we're
he
going
won the Big Ten.
Yeah, he's the Big Ten title champ.
Right. Yep, he's got the Big Ten belt.
So now he's taking on just like random coaches?
Yeah, because he beat Painter to win the Big Ten belt, and then he took on Self, Weber, Gross, so I think you can see the path there.
Revenge tour, okay.
Revenge tour. I don't know, Kruger's too nice.
Kruger wouldn't be fair, right?
Lon wouldn't fight. I don't think Lon would fight. Lon's one of those scrappy dudes, though. I bet he's stronger than you think. You know, one of those farm boy kind of guys in college that never lifted, but they were just really strong. I think Lon Kruger would be that guy.
Fair enough. And you would think the Chambers would have enough respect for Lon and be like, you know what? I appreciate you, man. I'm not going to mess you up.
Let's just bow out gracefully. Let's be done with this thing. So basically, yeah, we've had the revenge tour. Now we just.
I'm usually not here on Fridays, so I'm not used to this. 5:30 is going to be foreign territory for me with this quarantine edition.
So I think now with the emergence of Sean Miller, I think now we're kind of on a national scale.
Okay. So, I just didn't know if there was, like, a category we were going for.
No.
If it was just Hans's whim.
You know who would be a good battle? Who was the former Marquette coach?
Buzz Williams?
Yes.
Now at Texas A&M?
He would be a good battle. He sweats a lot. We got a lot of sweaters.
I was trying to think just pure size. Like, I don't know if Bob Patrick Huggins Ewing. Is a good fighter, but couldn't Huggins basically just... I mean, Chambers is a small guy. Couldn't Huggins just, like, I don't know, put him in a bear hug lock and not let go?
I think you could hit Huggins a couple times in the gut, not even affect him.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to move very well.
No. That's the problem, yeah.
Maybe 15 years ago, Frank Martin.
Yeah, ooh, I would not face Frank Martin.
I wouldn't want to face Frank Martin, period.
He would intimidate me before I even got in the ring.
He's a little older now.
He is older.
He'd play dirty.
He would.
He'd
totally.
He'd kick you where it hurts and then just walk off.
Yep. Yep, you're exactly right. I think Buzz Williams would be an interesting one. Maybe we could go down the Duke tree. Like, Coach K.
Nobody at Duke has a chance.
No, that's what I mean, but
Coach
it'd be
K
fun
would
to
immediately tap out.
He would tap out. Wouldn't it be fun, though, to just waylay John Shire? Yeah. I mean, just to
Greg Paulus.
Yeah. Wojanowski. How do you say his name?
Woj.
Woj. Maybe we can
Jeff
go that
Capel?
Way.
Yeah.
Never had an issue with Jeff Capel.
No.
Did he play at Duke?
Imagine.
I think he did. Wasn't there a Capel that played elsewhere? I think there were two Capels. And one didn't play at Duke and the other one did, I think. So, I don't know.
Do
any of the Hurley brothers have a chance? Probably not.
They get angry, but I don't know if they're like
small.
Physically strong.
The brother, not Bobby, but what's the other guy? What's his brother's name?
Danny.
He looks like he'd be a little tougher.
Yeah.
For fighting purposes.
What about Greg Marshall? He goes nuts sometimes.
Yeah, Greg Marshall would be kind of that.
Well,
he'd go
boring,
in
but...
looking like a librarian, and then you'd be like, "What? I wonder what he's going to do."
Shaka could outmove you in terms of, like, he would never sit still. You know what
skill.
I mean?
A lot of skill. Yeah. I agree.
I'd enjoy watching Chambers beat up Shaka.
Yeah, I'd be all right with that.
Tom Crean, former Indiana coach.
Oh, he's got to be on the list. He's got to be on the list. Who are some other...
Konzo.
Konzo.
Oh.
I could see that being a pretty good fight.
Ah.
Konzo's obviously going to cheat no matter what he does, so...
He would bring, like they used to in wrestling, or maybe still do, he'd bring, like, this little knife thing that he's got taped to his...
No, he'd just, like, bring a bazooka or something.
Yeah.
He'd be like, where the hell did you get that from?
They're like, you can't bring that in the ring. Why not?
What about Ed Cooley?
Ed Cooley.
I can see him squaring up.
Yeah, that's true.
Is Jim Boeheim too old? He's kind of scrappy.
Oh, yeah, he'd play like a zone. You know, he'd just kind of sit there with his hands out or whatever and just move around and hope that Pat Chambers falls asleep.
I wouldn't mind seeing Will Wade get beat up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be all right with that. I'd be all right with that.
Unless he made Chambers a strong offer to walk away.
Oh, true. That's true.
Who else is out there?
Charles Hamilton?
Mm. Charles says Frank Martin was a nightclub bouncer in Miami when he was younger.
Yeah,
he would beat the brakes
right.
off Pat Chambers. Yes. Don't you? I don't know, man. Chambers.
I vote Jim Larrañaga.
Jim Larrañaga.
Just for my decade of Miami hate, I just would like to see that happen.
Didn't he dance when George Mason made the Final Four, right?
He did.
He started dancing. That's always interesting. Well, we'll figure it out.
Andy Enfield.
Dunk City, right?
Lob City. Wife in the stands, and Chambers is a little distracted.
Is Crean going to walk in with a Diet Coke?
Of course.
He would just have a Diet Coke in his hand the whole fight as they just were fighting. I bet Bob Knight at this point could still go out.
I don't know. He was looking a little shaky at that Indiana reunion.
He of his disheveled eyebrows that to this day I still want to like do something with. I'm like, dude, do you not look in the mirror at those?
What about Mark Few? He's kind of boring.
No.
There's a lot of guys in that category of like, skinny, mid-30s to 40s, like Dana Altman, Mark Few. Mm-hmm. I don't really know if they'd be able to put up much of a fight.
I don't think they could take a punch.
Yeah.
I think they'd be down.
Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett's too good looking, right? There's something about him. He'd be the announcer.
What about the Utah coach? He looks kind of rough. Larry...
Eustace? No.
No, it's like Chris...
Christowiak or something like that.
Oh, I don't even know what he looks like.
He'd get in a fight.
McDermott. Greg.
Oh, Craig, yeah.
That's
a good option, actually.
He's a big guy.
I could see him winning the whole thing.
Yeah.
Actually.
He and Underwood would be a good battle.
Yeah.
Because they're both big-framed guys.
Similar frame.
That'd be a battle right there. Yeah. Listen, there's a lot of good options for Hans to get us to the finish line. And I just, at some point, I want Bruce Pearl to battle Pat Chambers. Of course, Pat Chambers got to win today. So we'll kind of see how that goes. We're going to do that at 5:25. So again, Pat Chambers, I don't know why, but he's joining us today. I mean, I know why, but I'm shocked that he's joining us today at 5:05 to talk about his fighting. So this,
are we doing awesome. His matchup at 5:05 with him?
I think we're going to just tease it. Like, we're going to tell him who he's battling today. Okay. And just, you know, like I think I explained to you on the phone, I'm just going to say, you know, you got Sean Miller today. He's a sweater. I mean, he likes to sweat. That's his strength. So,
that's,
you know,
a superpower.
That's a superpower. So how
talk
are you
about the run he's on?
Yeah. Oh, we're going to definitely do that. Definitely do that. This is going to be fun. Oh my gosh, this is going to be fun. All right, coming up, True or False Sports Returning Edition. And we're basically going to go over what we've essentially talked about all week. By the way, the IHSA, which was supposed to make an announcement, I think Wednesday, delayed it until today, and then now they've delayed it until Monday. I did see something today somebody posted about one option or one thought would be to move the football season, the high school football season, to the spring and run more of the individual sports in the fall. So in other words, like cross country, you don't necessarily, you're not touching other people basically
other
in cross
than the
country.
Baton handoff.
Yeah, you could track. I mean, that you'd have that. Maybe you just do away with the relays. I don't know. But that's an interesting thought, you know. I mean, basketball, that's a physical sport in terms of contact. I mean, baseball, you could get away with it. I know you're sharing a baseball, but other than that, you don't really touch many people playing baseball. So I don't know, but the IHSA now is going to make the announcement Monday. I'm not sure why it keeps getting delayed unless they just haven't hammered out exactly what they want in the proposal. So I know a lot of high schools are just waiting, chomping at the bit here to get going with at least workouts, you know, for the kids to work out either in groups, individually, whatever. I'm sure football coaches are going nuts right now. You know how football coaches are anyway. I'm sure they're just like, let's go. Let's hit something. So we'll hopefully find out something on Monday from the IHSA. So
got a name for you.
What's that?
Mick Cronin.
Oh, he's kind of does he look like a mole a little bit?
Like I put him high up on the list of coaches who are starting to look like a mascot themselves.
Yeah. Because Krzyzewski's the rat.
Right. You know? I think Turgeon wins, though, because Turgeon looks like a turtle.
He totally does.
I mean, it's
you
just
brought
weird.
That to my attention last year, and I was like,
just odd.
It really is. Mick Cronin, though, yeah, he kind of looks like a mole. Like, I can't understand, like, his forehead, the way it's shaped, and then his little nose.
He got into it with Ted Valentine once, I remember.
Yeah.
And, of course, his team was a part of that Xavier-Cincinnati brawl.
Oh, I forgot about that brawl. Yikes. I forgot all about that.
See him. He's small and feisty.
Yeah, he would be feisty. He'd be feisty, there's no doubt. Wade said, I thought our wonderful governor canceled all high school sports for this year. Well, I think just in the spring, they canceled the rest of...
Well, for this year, correct, in terms of this academic year.
Right.
But that year now expires in a few months.
Correct.
And next year would start in the fall.
Yeah, so I don't... I mean, unless I'm completely wrong, right now it's still on the table to have football and fall sports, et cetera. So we'll hopefully hear some more from the IHSA, Craig Anderson. I know they do a wonderful job, and they're trying their best to get these kids out on a field or whatever,
I saw... Someone, I think it was maybe Michael O'Brien, say that he thinks that the delays are because of Pritzker's Phase 3 that starts today and into June 3rd. They sort of have to readapt what they're doing to that or something like that. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we usually do this just one time, and it's always right at 5 o'clock, but Pat Chambers is going to be joining us, unless he wouldn't mind doing it. Maybe Pat would have some fun with the drink.
Maybe.
But it's a day where we're kind of celebrating a little bit of a reopening in the state of Illinois. And I know some of you out there are just ready to roll. Maybe a lot of you are already rolling, would be my assumption. If you are, go ahead and tip it up and get that thing in the air. If you're not yet, it's time. We're doing it early for you. Just go grab one out of the fridge, grab one out of that cooler that you've got iced down for the weekend. And let's just celebrate a reopening of sorts for the state of Illinois. Oh, that's pretty. Pat Chambers at 5:05. Who you got? 5:25. We're going to have some fun today. And when we return, true or false, sports returning edition, Trevor will moderate. We're back. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
This is what Flo from Progressive sounds like in one of our many hilarious commercials.
Hi! Did you know that you can get a quote on your motorcycle insurance in under 3 minutes at Progressive.com? And did you know that saying hi makes even bad news sound good? Hi! You have high cholesterol! Hi! You're fired!
And this is what that same commercial sounds like on your motorcycle.
Hi! There's no more pain!
Even our commercials sound better on a bike. And with basic policy starting at $75 a year, Progressive helps keep you on yours. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Big Grove Tavern is now open for patio service. 7 nights a week and brunch service too on Saturdays and Sundays. Great steaks, burgers, seafood, and vegetarian options. Plus some of the best cocktails anywhere with excellent wines and craft beer. Give Big Grove a call at 239-3505. Email sales at biggrovetavern.com or check out their Facebook page. Everyone is welcome at Big Grove. Big Grove. Big flavor.
Hi, my name is Matthew Gordon, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Mettler Center. COVID-19 hasn't stopped pain and injury, and it hasn't stopped physical therapy either. Telehealth can bring physical therapy to you while you stay home and flatten the curve. Our goal is to make the experience simple and stress-free. To help, we are offering the first telehealth session free of charge because we believe it is an essential part of the healthcare system right now. To get started today, visit MettlerCenter.com.
Hey, it's Gina here with ABC Heating and Air. Don't sweat the summer over high energy bills or a chance your air might not start at all. Let me send a friendly service technician to your home to give your AC a full tune-up before it gets too hot in East Central Illinois. Call 352-5400. That's 352-5400. Remember, at ABC Heating and Air Conditioning, it's as easy as ABC to always be comfortable. Again, call 352-5400.
Wow, Minuteman Press can assist with lots of products to help local businesses with social distancing, space management, and cleanliness priorities. Washable menus, social distancing floor decals, wall signs, outdoor menu boards, to-go menus, table tents, logo face mask, branded portable hand sanitizer station with a pull-up banner, branded multi-tool for touchless door opening and keypad pressing, along with acrylic sneeze guards. Find more at Minuteman Press's website, CUPrinting.com.
If you're in the market for a new car battery, you could go to one of those big box stores, except there's no guarantee you'll be served by an actual car expert.
Clean up in aisle three.
You could pick a battery off the shelf, except it might be close to expiring. Or you could just come into Interstate. Don't make a big box store blunder. With competitive prices and a more personal, reliable approach, Interstate Batteries is the clear-cut choice if you want to guarantee yourself a new and trustworthy car battery. They're open and ready to serve you at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign.
Piper, I'm Lante, Derek Piper. What's that guy saying?
Sabotage.
Oh, is that what he yelled? Yeah. Sabotage! Stand up and shout!
There you go.
Oh, I get fired up when that happens at Memorial Stadium.
What do we say has to happen for you to run up and down and high-five everybody in the horseshoe?
What did have to happen?
You want to touch everybody's hands?
Was it that Illinois made a Final Four this year? No, it was football-related.
Football-related. I think it was if they come back to Memorial Stadium 5-0, or was that?
Yes, if the Minnesota game, if Illinois is undefeated in the going into the Minnesota game, then I want to run the horseshoe and giving everybody kind of like they run with the orange. Now, of course, Trevor, I wasn't really thinking COVID-19 at the time. You know what I'll do? I'll put on one of those big Hulk
perfect
things, and I'll just fist bump everybody. Just
if you're wondering why Lon is gone like October 29th, it's because on October 27th he touched 10,000 people.
I'll put on one of those Hulk gloves, and then they have one of those gloves that has like a beer holder. So I'll have that one on my left hand with the beer in it, and then I'll just go and, because I think Lucas, when he was younger, or Andrew, dressed up like the Hulk, so we have those. And then if you punch something, it makes a
wow. Yep.
Those are pretty cool. I don't know if we still have those, though. All right, True or False Sports Returning Edition. Do you want music?
Sure.
Tonight on SportsCenter, Duke. That's all I got.
That's it.
That's it.
That's basically what MLB Network is doing. Did you see that?
No.
This weekend on MLB Network, Jeter. 64 straight hours of Derek Jeter coverage.
Really? I like Derek. I mean, Derek Jeter is a hell of a player, but I think, is he one of the more...
A little overhyped.
Yeah, okay. Honestly. I was going to say overrated. He wasn't overrated.
He's
overhyped.
Clutch.
Overhyped, yeah.
Heck of a defender. Don't think, I still stand by, didn't need to jump into the stands.
No. And was it really an out when he did the little shuffle, the shovel pass to the catcher?
The A's?
I felt like he was safe.
I think so, too.
I've always thought he was safe on that.
I just wanted to believe that he was safe.
Right.
I don't know if he actually was,
right.
But.
Who else is overhyped? Derek Jeter overhyped. How about is Bryce Harper overhyped?
I'd say that's fair.
Mike Trout underhyped.
Yeah.
Due to him. How about I'm trying to think, like in
NFL,
the NFL, who'd be overhyped? Phillip Rivers,
Baker Mayfield.
Oh yeah. Good one
so far.
Baker Mayfield for sure. How about in the
Carson
NBA?
Carson Wentz.
Oh,
sorry.
Yes.
Eagles,
now you're going to get Austin all fired up.
Go ahead. Let's roll.
Yeah, that's a perfect one with Baker Mayfield. We haven't really seen anything out of him yet. And he's got weapons.
I don't think he's hyped anymore, but Jared Goff proven to be overhyped.
Eli Manning is a good all-time debate in terms of Hall of Fame or not, because he's got the rings, but he's basically 500.
You'll get me going here on this ring thing. Isn't it funny how, because he has the rings, so if Eli Manning did not have Super Bowl rings, would he be a Hall of Fame quarterback?
No.
He's got pretty good numbers,
doesn't he?
I don't
think so. I think a large part of that argument is just the Tyree catch, the two Super Bowls over the Patriots.
But, you know, I look at guys like whoever played on the – like David Deal has two rings. So does that automatically make him a Hall of Famer because he's won two Super Bowls?
Nah.
I mean, he was a longtime starter in the NFL.
It's just imagine every piece of an argument as to why you're going into the Hall of Fame is like a plus one for your argument.
Okay.
But a ring is like plus three.
Okay, that's fair.
Or something like that.
That's fair. So, it certainly makes a difference.
Especially if you're a quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, no offense to David Deal, but...
No, right. Yeah, David Deal's like, every offensive lineman's like, oh, okay, we'll go out and do all the hard work. And then Mr. Preppy back there gets all the attention. That's exactly right, though. All right, go ahead, my friend.
You could say he was not a big deal.
Oh.
True or false? Sports Returning Edition. You just tell me true or false in your opinion.
Okay.
You will watch, Lana, this is one is less so for you and more so for Derek and myself. You will watch the return of the NHL if it's the first sport to come back, no matter whether or not you're a hockey fan.
True!
I'm watching Bundesliga. I've listened to UFC podcasts.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm there.
Yes.
True. I'm desperate.
The fair question for me would be the first night hockey returns and it's like Calgary against Buffalo. I don't know. Would you watch that? I'd be like, yes.
And are we blowing it out on here, like previewing Calgary?
Ooh.
If it's the first sporting event to come back,
how cool will it be to preview a sporting
event? We'll have to preview a live game that's going to be live.
I think that would be kind of fun. Whatever the first NHL game is, we come in here and just, like, we get a hold of some writer from Calgary, and just cover the Flames like nothing else.
I mean, it will be a postseason game, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like it's not going to matter.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. All right, so true for everybody. Is it true for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of.
I mean, it's live sports. The first one you'd watch.
But
maybe
it's not going to have the same feeling as when I watch the first pitch of a Cubs game.
Oh, my goodness.
Still turn it on as soon as I get home.
Yeah?
Sure. I'm struggling when that happened. We talked about it show yesterday.
Oh,
what do we watch?
You know, the last thing I watched was a Blues game. Because I think they were in San Jose, if I'm correct. Or in L.A., maybe.
You mean the last live sporting event?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The last live sporting event, officially.
Oh, the NASCAR?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That is true, because that's return. But the Blues, I remember tweeting out. I'm like, well, I better watch this entire Blues game, because it sounds like, because the NBA had already announced they were done. I think the Big Ten tournament was
done. I was going to say, I think my last one was Nebraska-Indiana in round one of the tournament.
When your boy was, like, sweating up a storm?
That was weird.
Hoiberg looked...
That was scary.
I wonder if he had it.
Scary ill.
They took him to the hospital, yeah.
Okay.
But that was really strange.
That was strange.
There was so much misinformation that you didn't know, or lack of information that you didn't know how bad it was for anybody.
Of all games for him
to... So much on the line for Nebraska that game.
Of all games, though, maybe he knew he had to square off with Pat Chambers in a fight one day. And it was on his mind. He's like, I know there's a basketball game going on, but... Crap.
That's going to be a weird 5-minute segment in the coronavirus 30 for 30.
Yeah.
You know, where they say, and also that night we had this weird incident where Fred Hoiberg looked like he was dying on the sideline.
Ugh. Man, that was weird.
Okay, true or false, you're on the player side, and I know we've talked about this a lot, when it comes to the MLB dispute.
Oh, this is a hard one.
Maybe I'll just rephrase, you're more so on the players.
Okay, I kind of am. And I've always said I'm right down the middle on this, because really I'm not a billionaire and I'm not a millionaire, so I have no idea what it means to live in that rare air. But I feel like, and I could be wrong, I feel like owners could take a hit one year and be fine. Does that make sense? Yeah. Not that players couldn't. Not that Mike Trout, if he didn't make $30 million this year, is, you know, going to go hungry tomorrow. But I feel like the owners, and kind of the thing that you mentioned the other day, Derek, is that for years, I mean, what excess money have owners been making that the players, I'm not saying the players deserve it. I mean, the owners are the one that own the business, right? And if you own a business and you make excess money, you don't have to give it to your employees. I mean, it's part of the risk of owning a business. It's part of the stress you have at night when you wake up at 3 a.m. But the point is, I can't imagine a billionaire wakes up at 3 a.m. worrying about money. But the point is, I think, is that I feel like the owners for years have just pocketed a ton of extra money that they could go 1 year, suck it up 1 year, pay all the salaries, and just move on for the sake of baseball. So, yeah, I'm more on the player side.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that billionaires are each and every year on the fringe of, oh, we got to sell this last series of beer. Really got to... get up and down and pocket all that.
Right.
Otherwise, we're not going to be able to pay for everything. They're going to have a little bit left over for not necessarily times like this, because you're not preparing for it.
You think Bill DeWitt ever goes, wait a minute, Tay's on his way to Busch Stadium? Oh, hell yes.
It's going to be a good weekend.
This is going to be a great weekend.
Yeah. Although, I will say on the player side, I'm not fully there.
Okay.
I don't want to sound bad in saying that there's definitely risk.
No doubt.
Are they risking their lives in the way that Blake Snell presented it? I'm not sure. It sounded more like they were going to war. Look, that might sound insensitive, but it's up for each and every individual person to decide. Also, they need to be flexible, and right now it seems like they've been sticking to 50% for 50% of the season.
Yeah.
You got to be flexible. Owners, you've two terrible presentations so far.
Agree.
And both sides need to just figure it out.
Figure it out, please.
That's the only thing where the players lose me, is when they said they wanted, or Snell said he wanted like 80% of the money for 50% of the game.
Yeah.
It's like, well, to me, 50% of the money for 50% of the games just makes sense.
Right.
If I come in half the hours this week, guess what? I'm getting paid for half the hours I normally would be getting paid.
And then he goes,
do you give any extra percentages because of the risk?
I'm risking it coming in right now to work.
True.
This Stevie,
anybody going
a little bit extra?
Anybody going anywhere would be risking
That's
it.
That's
right
true. That is true.
I mean, literally, as soon as you step out your front door, you are, scientifically speaking, at risk.
You're risking it.
Snell goes, on top of that, it's going to get taxed like every dollar in America.
Yeah, imagine taxes. Mind-blowing idea.
Thank
there.
Goodness. I haven't. Do we have to pay taxes? I haven't done that in years. What? Wait a minute. What? Am I going to have an audit? I'm kidding. I pay my taxes.
Lon gets shuffled out of the building in about 5 minutes.
Before Pat Chambers. No!
True or false, you're on board with the NBA's proposal, and more details came out today about it, to start July 31st at Disney World in Orlando with a little bit of a... There's different strategies as to whether they want group stage or just some games, but there would be some type of format prior to the playoffs starting as well.
Okay. I have not seen the NBA's proposal, so I can't wax poetic on what they've done, but I am true. I'm on board. I think the NBA, I feel like, you know, football, whereas there's, what's the roster size in football? It's huge, right? The NBA has, what, 11, 12 guys, 13, whatever, 14. I feel like you're able to control it a little bit better. You know, you kind of have strength in numbers the other way, in other words. You know, whereas baseball, you've got 25 or 30 or even 40 guys on every team plus manager. There's tons of coaches. In the NBA, you're basically talking about 20 people per team, and I feel like they can do a pretty good job of controlling that. So I'm all on board with the NBA returning. I think they can get this done.
Yeah, I'm true on that one. I think that Orlando makes a lot of sense to have the Disney, to have the Orlando Magic. The fact that it is kind of, as they would say, in a bubble or in a vacuum, we'll see how that works. I still haven't heard a surefire answer from college coming back, major sports, high school in Iowa. What happens if a player gets it? What happens to that team? What happens to the competition, to the games? Apparently, you're not going to shut everything down, I wouldn't think, but I haven't heard an exact answer to that, and that's one thing where I'd want to know what the guidelines
that's
are.
That's a great point. I feel like they've thought of everything. So I feel like that's something they've talked about and thought about. So what is the answer? But like Deanne yesterday didn't, I don't think she knew. So yeah, that's a good question.
Well, and then of course there's the implication of if there is some type of, you know, let's just say Andre Curbelo tests positive, so Illinois just shuts it down. Do you go to Andre and say, I'm not trying to cast any dispersions, but do you go to him and say, you know, you don't have to tell anyone about this. We can just keep you inside for 14 days. So I don't know.
That's true.
True or false? If your team were to win a title in a COVID shortened or affected season, you would still feel the same amount of excitement and not feel like there was a giant asterisk on the title.
True for me. And I thought of this the other day with hockey. Hockey is, well, like every sport, it's just such a grueling series after series after series. And, of course, we brag about the NHL because they're out there beating the you-know-what out of each other every other day. And they're back on their skates with broken legs and whatever. That's been done. I feel like once the playoffs, and I'm using hockey as an example, once the Stanley Cup playoffs begin, once they get past that first initial, you know, those other eight, or those 12 teams that are playing, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I feel like once they do that, I'm going to get right back into the understanding of, here we go. You know, like a Dallas Stars, St. Louis Blues series. To me, this year will feel just like it did last year. And part of it, I think, Trevor, is because they played the majority of the season. So to me, I mean, like hockey in the NBA, they essentially played their whole season.
Yeah.
Now they're just taking this extended break. And then, boom, here we go with the playoffs. So, no asterisk for me. I'm all about it.
In theory, I agree with you, and I don't have a team to really pull for in the NHL or really the NBA for that matter. The one question would be, what happens if a star player on a championship favorite is taken out, or what happens if that team is taken out? All of a sudden, I think that this is going to be unfair to some teams. The asterisk is going to matter based on who wins the title.
Okay.
If somehow, I don't know, the Houston Rockets, who aren't very popular in the NBA now anyway, if they make their way through and win the title, and again, say the Lakers, I don't want to put it on LeBron or AD, but if they can't go because of this, there will be an asterisk.
Okay. I think that's fair. By the way, Markelle Fultz still can't shoot.
It's not COVID-related, his shooting.
I think he just... I'm glad the Sixers wasted a pick
on
that.
But assuming everything goes well, then no. It's an even playing field. Come back and play.
That is a good point. I can see how they would... If a team you didn't like won a title, you'd be like, ah. Like if the Cubs would win a World Series, I'm like, come on.
So if the Cardinals, in a different division with a different schedule for only 80 games, won the World Series, you're saying you literally would not feel any different about the title?
You know, now that you say it like that with baseball, I think with baseball I would feel different. Is that weird? Whereas in hockey...
Because you already have one? I mean, you have a Blues title.
I don't...
I'm making zero apologies if the Bears win a Super Bowl.
Hey, man.
Zero.
No, I think if the Cardinals won a World Series, then I'm all about it. Because to me, you're not shortening necessarily the postseason. You're just shortening the regular season. And I think if you could play 80 games, 80 to 100 games, I feel like the cream rises, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Nationals were 19-32 last year through 50 games, but...
That's true. That is weird. But, yeah. And then they no-hit the Cardinals every game.
Wow, four straight no-hitters. I must have missed that one.
Yeah.
Okay, on the other side of that same coin, true or false, you will feel less upset if your team doesn't live up to expectations. Let's say the Cardinals finished last in a reformatted NL Central. You will feel less upset because it is a COVID asterisk.
That's a good question.
If that makes any sense the way I just
I think
it.
We're all competitive, and I think we're very competitive as fans. So, false. I will absolutely get upset. It'll take me three games into a Major League Baseball season to where I'm starting to rip
Dexter Fowler.
Dexter Fowler, yeah. Well, that'll only be one game. One at bat, basically. But, like, if you played a Cubs-Cardinals game tomorrow, it would take me one inning to remember how much I hate the Cubs.
So, let's say Illinois football gets rid of their non-conference schedule because those schools can't afford it. They go, because the Big Ten is rough, they go 2-6. Are you less upset about that that bad season because of how badly it was affected?
No. In fact, I'm the one picking Lovey up for the plane ride to Tampa. You're done, Lovey. Grab your beard.
I say false because of the weight, the anticipation.
Yeah.
When sports finally come back, you're going to be juiced up. You're going to be ready to watch your team. And also on the Cardinals note, in the remade Central, that includes the Royals and the Pirates. And if somehow the Cardinals are last, that's... It's not going to work very well.
True or false, you would be fine with a college football season with no fans or tailgating as long as it meant that it was still happening.
Oh, this is a really good question.
Define fine.
Okay, well, let me just give you like a point-blank choice. Either there's no football season or there's a college football season, but you can't attend any game or tailgate in any fashion. You're not really going to say you'd rather just see no football just because you can't sit in a trailer and grill, right?
I want to see football.
It's more than that, Trevor.
Yeah, you don't understand. Like, it used to be when I was younger, I could not wait to go golf or go to a bar and see my buddies. Now, tailgating is like at the top of my list.
I get it.
I only get to do it like six times a year. But to me, there's two different things that happen on a Saturday in Champaign. The first one is I tailgate. That is the first event. The second event is I go to the Illinois game. So they're to me, it's not together. Like, they're not mutual. It's not, oh, yeah, we're going to tailgate and go to the Illini game. Uh-uh. It's we're going to tailgate. Then we're going to go to the Illini game. that would crush me, Trevor.
What if you had the choice where they're ready to have football without fans and tailgates in the fall?
Okay.
Or you could wait until the spring where you could potentially have fans and tailgates, or things could go abysmally wrong in the winter and there's no football in the spring.
No!
So you take the gamble by waiting another 6 months that you could have a full fledged experience or no experience.
Oh, man. No, I wouldn't take the chance. I'm ready. When the fall rolls around, I'm ready. I'm ready to tailgate. Somebody just put it in all caps. What's the point without tailgating? Exactly.
I must not have been integrated into the tailgating culture quite enough to agree that there is no point to football without tailgating.
For me, it's kind of funny because we got to take a break, by the way. I about just literally almost talked through this entire. But here's the scoop. Like, when I was younger, we tailgated a few times. We weren't season ticket holders like my dad and mom, but I would go with my uncle and aunt a lot, and we would tailgate. But of course, I was younger. You know, I didn't drink, all that stuff. Then I went to SIU, and, you know, you'd maybe tailgate with 20 people, and then you'd go into the stadium with 40 people. So college football was just kind of, nah. And then when I moved back, well, then in TV, like, I never got to tailgate because I was covering the game. So then when I finally got out of the TV business and, you know, started in the insurance business, now all of a sudden I had Saturdays open to tailgate. So it's almost as though if somebody, like, instead of being 21 when you enter your bar for the first time and have a legal drink, I was like 40. I wasn't that old, but you know what I mean.
You're making up for lost time.
I'm making up for lost time. So every tailgate to me is making up for lost time, okay. Because I just never really, like, I haven't been somebody that grew up going to tailgates every, like Andrew. Andrew right now, he doesn't know a world without going to tailgates, right? So I don't know what he'll be like when he gets to be my age, if he'll just continue to love tailgating or will he be burnt out? It's a
fair
question.
It'll be part of his experience.
Yeah. Knowing Andrew,
every tailgate's a winner. Not every time you walk into Memorial Stadium is a winner.
That just, boom. Okay. We got to take a break.
I'm not ragging on tailgating, by the way.
I know you're not.
My choice was tailgating or literally no sport whatsoever.
No.
Taking the sport.
I know you're not. When we come back.
It's time, isn't it?
Penn State basketball. This hour flew. Penn State basketball coach Pat Chambers is joining us not to talk basketball, not to talk Big Ten. It's to talk about his fighting skills in the octagon. I cannot wait for this. This is Radio Gold. It's classic. I used to get nervous for something like this. Now I'm just overjoyed, and I can't wait for these next 8 minutes to fly by. Pat Chambers next. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.